Good morning, good evening, good whatever time it is for you. Welcome back, listeners and friends, or welcome in new listeners and new friends. You've arrived at Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales, and I'm your host, The Tale Teller. And tonight, I'm showcasing a very specially dedicated episode to one of my most amazing Patreon supporters. This is for Matto Superstar Bauer, my Ode Night Tea Titan. With a story titled Fangs for the Memories, A Bloody Misadventure in Dry Hollow. Now, what sets this episode apart from the rest is an extensive use of AI voice. So I get to use my voice with some pretty powerful tools to bring in actors that I would not normally necessarily have access to. I really hope you love this tale. And of course, let me share a bit about it. Dr. Jonathan Fables is an ancient, brooding Australian vampire with a tragic curse, impeccable fashion sense, and a mild intolerance for sunlight. Well, actually, it will incinerate him. Jeffrey Stories, his pudgy, devoted, and alarmingly enthusiastic assistant, is about as helpful as a screen door on a submarine. But his heart is in the right place. When the duo rolls into the small, sleepy town of Dry Hollow, Pennsylvania, it seems like just another pit stop for blood and bad decisions. But after a sloppy murder, thanks to Jeffrey's creative distractions, they accidentally attract the attention of the entire town, including one suspiciously well-informed old lady, Mrs. Callahan. Now, I'm not going to go any further in here and divulge some spoilers. Oh, no. I guarantee you this tongue-in-cheek, ridiculously silly tale, muddled with a little bit of murder, will have your storytelling taste buds tingling. Say that one a couple of times. I really, really loved narrating and creating this story from scratch. I hope you do love it as well. And I'll be continuing this after chapter 5. So we're covering chapters 1 through to 5 today and following on from this. So I'm keen to hear your feedback, mates. So strap yourself in, grab your bag of blood, and get ready to sip on it whilst we explore this silly adventure of Dr. Fables and Jeffrey Stories. Enjoy. Chapter 1, The Doctor and the Devoted. The year was 1789, when Dr. Jonathan Fables, an ambitious young man with fiery dreams of prosperity, arrived in the wild and untamed lands of Australia. His keen intellect and soothing charm made him a favourite amongst the colonists. Yet beneath his polished exterior lay a man hungry for wealth. Wealth he sought through land acquisition. The indigenous people he encountered were kind, but wary of his offerings. Patience was not a virtue Jonathan possessed. The day Jonathan committed the murders of an indigenous family to claim their land was the day his fate was sealed. Among his victims was an elderly medicine man who, with his dying breath, whispered a curse older than time itself.
Since you took life with blood, blood shall be all you consume. Since you walk uninvited, no place shall welcome you without invitation. Since you have cast light away, only darkness shall be your cloak.
His transformation was slow and agonizing. Days passed without food or water. His body ached with a torment unlike anything he had known. When his first sunrise as a cursed being turned his skin to ash, Jonathan realized the full weight of the punishment. For 2 centuries, he roamed in darkness, surviving on the blood of humans, spreading his curse to the unlucky few who crossed his path. Fast forward to present day, Pennsylvania. With a small town of Dry Hollow brims with unsuspecting prey. There, Dr. Fables now masquerades as a genteel, mysterious physician. His refined charm and brooding allure made him the perfect predator, if not for his devoted assistant, Jeffrey Stories. Jeffrey has stumbled into Dr. Fables' world by sheer accident. A late-night trip to a gas station an abandoned car, and the ever-welcome invitation of his own overly friendly nature. "You come on in, sit down, you must be freezing," he'd said to the stranger with the haunting dark eyes. It wasn't long before Geoffrey realized he'd unwittingly let a vampire into his life. Geoffrey was a man of questionable hygiene, but unquestionable loyalty. A pudgy, unkempt figure, with a slightly manic glint in his eye. He had attached himself to Jonathan like a barnacle to a ship. His quirks included an alarming enthusiasm for garlic bread, a phobia of mirrors, a knack for inappropriate jokes at the worst possible moments. Geoffrey adored Dr. Fables, though his affection often came with a side of chaos. Dr. Fables tolerated Geoffrey begrudgingly. After all, every vampire needs a familiar, and Geoffrey, despite his maddening tendencies, proved surprisingly effective. Together, they made a strange but wonderful duo. The polished, world-weary vampire and his grimy, overzealous assistant. Little did they know Dry Hollow would soon become the backdrop of their most dangerous adventure yet. Chapter 2. Welcome to Dry Hollow. Dry Hollow was the kind of town where people didn't lock their doors until they had a reason to. It was quaint, but riddled with secrets. A perfect feeding ground for Dr. Fables. The town boasted a single diner, a gas station with an ever-broken ice machine, and a bar ominously named The Last Call. Geoffrey loved it immediately. "Oh, look at this place, Doc," he exclaimed, his pudgy face pressed against the car window as they rolled into town. "It's got charm. You can almost smell the desperation."
"Delightful,"
Dr. Fables muttered, his voice dripping with sarcasm as he parked their old black sedan outside the town's lone motel, the Whispering Pines. He adjusted his coat, shielding his pale skin from the late afternoon sun, and motioned for Geoffrey to grab the bags. Inside the motel, the receptionist, a teenager chewing gum with an air of indifference, eyed the duo suspiciously.
"What brings you two to Dry Hollow?"
she asked, popping a bubble.
"Business,"
Dr. Fable said smoothly. His charming smile could have melted steel.
"Aha,"
the girl replied, her suspicion melting into mild boredom.
"Room 13, keys on the counter."
13? Ooh, spooky,
Geoffrey said, wiggling his fingers theatrically. Dr. Fables shot him a withering look. That evening, as the town fell into the hush of twilight, the pair ventured to The Last Call. Dr. Fables needed to survey his new hunting ground, while Geoffrey was eager to mingle, or at least try the wings. The bar was dimly lit and crowded, filled with the smell of stale beer and the sound of a jukebox crooning old country songs. Dr. Fables glided through the room like a predator in his element, his dark eyes scanning the patrons with practiced subtlety. Geoffrey, meanwhile, was loudly introducing himself to anyone within earshot.
"This is my best friend, Doc,"
Geoffrey announced, draping an arm around Jonathan's shoulders.
"He's a doctor. Really brainy. Handsome too, huh?"
He elbowed a waitress with a conspiratorial grin. The waitress, a weary-looking woman named Nancy, raised an eyebrow.
"Uh-huh. And what kind of doctor are you exactly?"
"A hematologist,"
Dr. Fables replied smoothly, his smile sharp enough to cut glass. Geoffrey beamed.
"See, blood stuff. I told you he was brainy."
Dr. Fables resisted the urge to roll his eyes. He had spent centuries perfecting the art of blending in, and Geoffrey's antics were like tossing a grenade into a quiet room. But as the night wore on, Jonathan noticed something peculiar about Dry Hollow. The people here, they weren't as oblivious as they seemed. Conversations halted when he passed by, and more than once he caught weary glances thrown his way. It was as though the town itself could sense his presence, like the town. It itself was watching.
"Do you feel that?"
he whispered to Geoffrey as they left the bar.
Geoffrey, his mouth full of wings, nodded sagely.
Oh, yeah. Garlic in the sauce, too much. Rookie mistake.
Dr. Fables sighed. Something was wrong with this place, and he intended to find out what. Chapter 3. Fangs, Fumbles, and Fatalities. By their third night in Dry Hollow, Dr. Fables had chosen his first target, Gary Hicks, the surly owner of the gas station, who was notorious for shortchanging customers and kicking stray dogs. He was a perfect victim, detested by the town, unlikely to be missed for long. The plan was simple. Dr. Fables would lure Gary into the woods behind the gas station with promises of money owed and finish the job quickly. Geoffrey, as usual, was responsible for distraction.
Are you sure this will work?
Geoffrey asked as he fumbled with a poorly crafted disguise, a gas station uniform two sizes too small and a fake moustache hanging precariously off his upper lip. Of course, Dr. Fables said, adjusting his cufflinks in the motel mirror, with only his clothes as reference. All you need to do is keep him talking for a few minutes. Think you can handle that? Geoffrey puffed out his chest and said,
Distracting is my middle name.
Gary was locking up for the night when Geoffrey waddled over, his moustache already half detached.
Hey, you, the guy who owns this place?
Geoffrey asked, trying to sound menacing but coming off more like a used car salesman. Gary squinted at him.
Who's asking?
Me, Joey Moustache,
Geoffrey blurted, instantly regretting the name.
Listen, I've heard you got some unclaimed winning from the lottery. Yeah, big bucks. Cinder, I want in.
What the hell are you talking about?
Gary snapped, stepping closer.
Never mind, Geoffrey said, panicking. Just follow me into the woods. It'll make sense, I promise.
Gary took a step back.
You've been drinking, pal. Or what?
Fortunately, Dr. Fables appeared then, his dark eyes gleaming in the moonlight.
Excuse my associate.
Gesturing toward Geoffrey,
he's not very articulate. What he means to say is that we'd like to discuss a business opportunity.
Gary, though suspicious, was intrigued enough to follow. As the three of them reached the woods, Dr. Fable turned on his charm.
You see, Mr. Hicks,
he began, his voice low and hypnotic,
I represent a private organization interested in individuals of your, shall we say, persuasion. We offer rewards for discretion and loyalty.
Gary looked at him confused.
What are you talking about?
At that moment, Geoffrey tripped over a log and fell face first into a pile of leaves. His moustache flew off dramatically, landing on Gary's boot. Gary looked down, then up at Geoffrey.
What the?
No!
Dr. Fables hissed, lunging forward. But Gary, it turned out, had an iron reflex. He swung his flashlight, smacking Dr. Fables square in the jaw. The vampire reeled back, stunned. Geoffrey, scrambling to his feet, screamed,
Don't hurt my best friend,
and threw himself at Gary in what could generously be described as a flying tackle. The three of them tumbled to the ground in a chaotic heap. By the time Dr. Fables managed to sink his fangs into Gary's neck, both he and Geoffrey were covered in mud, twigs, and what appeared to be a sticky substance Geoffrey insisted was tree sap.
Great distraction, Geoffrey.
Dr. Fables muttered sarcastically as Gary's body went limp.
Oh, thanks,
Geoffrey said, grinning through the dirt on his face.
I do my best.
Unfortunately, Gary's death was only the beginning of their troubles. By morning, news of his disappearance had spread through Dry Hollow, and the townsfolk were already whispering about strange figures seen near the woods. Worse still, Geoffrey, ever the bumbling fool, had accidentally left his fake moustache at the scene.
Do you have any idea how much trouble we are in?
Dr. Fables hissed as they sat in their motel room, the blinds drawn tight against the sunlight.
It's just a moustache, Jeffrey said defensively. Nobody's going to connect it to me.
Dr. Fables glared at Jeffrey.
You signed it, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey's face fell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That wasn't my best move. No.
The two of them stared at each other for a long moment before Jeffrey broke into a sheepish grin.
But hey, at least we've got Gary, right?
Dr. Fables groaned.
You're going to get us killed.
Jeffrey shrugged.
Eh, I'll take my chances. You're worth it, Doc.
Despite himself, Dr. Fables felt a flicker of gratitude. Jeffrey might have been a disaster, but he was his disaster. Chapter 4. Bodies, Blunders, and Bumbling Buffoons. The problem with murder, besides the whole being a crime thing, was that people tend to notice when someone disappeared, and in a small town like Dry Hollow, folks didn't just notice, they talked. Loudly, frequently, over coffee, at the diner, in the checkout line, at the grocery store, you get the gist. By the next evening, the whole town was buzzing about Gary Hicks's mysterious vanishing act. This was, as you would expect, bad news for Dr. Fables. This was even worse news for Jeffrey, whose misplaced fake moustache had already been found and handed over to the sheriff. The morning after Gary's unfortunate demise, Dr. Fables paced in their motel room, fingers pinching the bridge of his nose.
We need to leave.
Jeffrey, sprawled on the bed in his stained t-shirt, waved a hand dismissively.
Relax, Doc. It's just a moustache. How many guys in town don't have a moustache?
Dr. Fables shot him a look, reminding Jeffrey about the mistake he made.
It had your name written on it.
Jeffrey sat up.
Okay, that's on me, I know. But let's not panic. It's not like they have DNA testing in this town, right?
There was a knock at the door. Jeffrey froze mid-scratch of his belly.
Should I get that?
Dr. Fables groaned.
Absolutely not.
He threw on his coat, smoothing his dark hair.
Let me do the talking. If anyone asks, we know nothing.
Jeffrey gave a thumbs up.
Got it. Play dumb. Easy.
Sheriff Earl McGowan stood outside, a thick-jawed man in his 60s, looking as though he'd eaten nails for breakfast and hadn't been impressed by the flavour. He was flanked by his deputy, a scrawny kid who looked like he still got carded buying soda.
Morning, gentlemen,
the sheriff drawled, adjusting his belt.
Mind if I ask y'all a few questions?
Dr. Fables smiled politely, exuding charm.
Of course, sheriff. How can we help?
The sheriff held up a plastic evidence bag. Inside it, Jeffrey's tragically abandoned moustache. Jeffrey sucked in a breath.
Oh no, that poor moustache.
Dr. Fables stepped in smoothly.
I assume this is about the missing gas station owner.
McGowan narrowed his eyes.
That'll be correct. See, someone found this in the woods near where he was last seen. Figured it might belong to someone.
Jeffrey forced a laugh that sounded like a dying goat.
Must be some other Jeffrey. Real common name. Lots of Jeffreys walking around here. Dropping moustaches in the woods, you know. A real follicle fervitude, if you know what I mean.
Dr. Fables shot Jeffrey a look that said,
stop talking immediately.
The sheriff wasn't buying it.
You two ain't from around here, are you? Just passing through. Looking at potential business opportunities.
The deputy, clearly eager to impress his boss, squinted.
What kind of business?
Jeffrey, against all reason and self-preservation, blurted out.
Meat distribution.
Dr. Fables nearly choked. The sheriff's face twisted in confusion.
Meat distribution?
Jeffrey nodded furiously.
Yep, you know, blood and our stuff. I mean, food, blood. Food for butchers. Yeah, butchers. Normal meat things. You like meat, Sheriff?
The deputy looked slightly nauseated. The sheriff stared long and hard at Jeffrey, who was sweating so much he looked like he'd just run a marathon through a car wash. Finally, the sheriff sighed.
Just stay in town for now, all right?
Dr. Fables nodded.
Of course, Sheriff, of course.
McGowan and his deputy left. The moment the door shut, Dr. Fables turned on Jeffrey.
Meat distribution? Meat stuff? You like meat stuff?
He hissed.
I panicked, Jeffrey cried. You were all smooth and mysterious, then I was just there, and words happened?
Dr. Fables groaned, rubbing his temples.
We are going to get killed.
Jeffrey hesitated.
Killed like the fun way or the bad way?
Dr. Fables just stared at him.
Okay, bad way. Got it.
As if their problems weren't bad enough, Gary's sudden disappearance had made the town unusually cautious. People started traveling in groups, locking their doors at night. Dr. Fables' food supply was quickly dwindling, and hungry vampires made mistakes. Case in point. That night, while Jeffrey was out reconnaissance shopping, which meant buying snacks at the gas station, Dr. Fables made an attempt at a quick, discreet meal. It went horribly wrong. His target, a lone hitchhiker heading towards the edge of town, seemed easy enough. A little charm, a quick bite, no mess. Except the hitchhiker was not, in fact, a hitchhiker at all. He was a paranormal investigator. The moment Dr. Fables bared his fangs, the guy pepper sprayed him in the eye. The ancient feared vampire of legend collapsed onto the pavement, hissing and clawing at his burning face.
My eyes. Be dawn, foul creature of the night.
The investigator screamed, throwing a vial of holy water at him. Dr. Fables, now covered in searing, blessed liquid, let out a very undignified shriek. He scrambled to his feet and ran down the darkened street, his coat billowing dramatically as he flailed, just in time for Jeffrey to walk out of the gas station.
Oh, hey, Doc. Oh, sweet mother of...
Dr. Fables barreled into him, knocking them both to the ground. The investigator, still waving a crucifix, took a picture of the chaos and yelled,
"This town is haunted by demons!"
Jeffrey blinked at Dr. Fables, who was now smoldering slightly.
How did it go?
Dr. Fables groaned.
Get me to the motel.
Back in their room, Jeffrey dabbed at Dr. Fables' scorched face with a wet napkin.
I mean, it could have gone worse.
Dr. Fables glared.
Okay, maybe not much worse.
We need to fix this. We need to cover our tracks, avoid suspicion, and most importantly, not get burned alive by an angry mob.
Jeffrey nodded.
Right, also maybe lay off hitchhikers for a while.
Dr. Fables groaned.
I hate this town.
Unfortunately for them, Dry Hollow wasn't done with them yet. The sheriff was already organizing a town meeting. The real trouble. And Jeffrey? Jeffrey was just happy to be part of the adventure. Now, Dry Hollow's town meetings were legendary. Not for their efficiency, but for their sheer absurdity. Held in the local church basement, they usually devolved into shouting matches about topics ranging from whether the diner's coffee was too weak to the mayor's suspicious fondness for llamas. Tonight, however, there was only one topic on the agenda. Gary Hicks was missing, and something weird, well, weirder than usual, was going on in this town. Dr. Fables and Jeffrey, realizing that not showing up would be suspicious, had begrudgingly taken seats in the back row. Dr. Fables sat stiffly, arms crossed, while Jeffrey enthusiastically raided the snack table. Geoffrey McGowan cleared his throat.
All right, folks. Y'all know why we're here.
Because the devil is among us,
shouted an elderly woman near the front. Mrs. Callahan, Dry Hollow's self-appointed expert in all things supernatural.
I told y'all. We've had trouble ever since those outsiders showed up.
Her bony finger jabbed in the direction of Dr. Fables and Geoffrey. Geoffrey, mid-bite into a donut, froze. Oh, I feel this is personal. Dr. Fables pinched the bridge of his nose.
We've been here 3 days.
Exactly,
Mrs. Callahan declared.
3 days. That's when everything started going wrong.
Dr. Fables exhaled slowly. This woman was either a lunatic or dangerously perceptive. Sheriff McGowan held up a hand.
Now, let's not jump to conclusions. We don't have any proof anything supernatural is going on.
I saw a demon running down Main Street last night,
piped up the so-called paranormal investigator, waving his phone.
Look!
He turned the screen towards the crowd. The entire church basement gasped. There, in grainy night vision horror, was a blurry image of Dr. Fables, his face twisted in pain, arms flailing as he ran from the holy water attack. Geoffrey squinted.
Huh, you kind of look like a bat that forgot how to fly.
Dr. Fables shot him a look that promised pain. The meeting devolved into chaos. Some folks were already forming a mob, getting the pitchforks, while others argued whether or not vampires technically counted as demons. Meanwhile, Geoffrey tried and failed to start a counter-argument that not all pale, scary people were bad. McGowan slammed his fist on the podium.
Enough. We ain't gonna burn down the town just yet. But we are gonna have a curfew. No one outside after dark until we figure this out.
Dr. Fables tensed. That was a problem. Geoffrey leaned over.
So, does this mean hunting's off the table?
Dr. Fables didn't answer. His mind was already racing. The town was on high alert. His face, however blurry, was out there. And worst of all, Mrs. Callahan was staring directly at him, and she was smiling. Chapter 5, Old Blood and Bad Decisions. Mrs. Callahan was the kind that suggested she knew exactly what Dr. Fables was. And worse, she liked knowing.
Doc,
Geoffrey whispered as they left the town meeting.
That old lady was giving you the I know what you did last summer look.
Dr. Fables didn't respond. He was already lost in thought. Mrs. Callahan had been alive long enough to recognize something was wrong with Dry Hollow, and now she was looking at him. And she wasn't afraid. That was the problem. Back at the motel, Dr. Fables was pacing. Geoffrey was lying across the bed, munching on a bag of chips.
So, we got options?
Geoffrey said, voice muffled through a mouthful of barbecue flavoring.
One, we leave town. Two, we kill the old lady. Three, we pretend to be good guys. Four, we leave town.
You said leave town twice,
Dr. Fables muttered.
I really think we should leave town.
But Dr. Fables wasn't so sure anymore. Mrs. Callahan was staring at him, but not with hatred. There was something else behind her gaze. Recognition. Had she seen another vampire before? Or worse, did she know about the curse? A knock at the door made them both freeze. Geoffrey gasped.
Oh no, it's another angry mob. Should I put on pants?
Dr. Fables scowled.
You should always be wearing pants.
Geoffrey shrugged.
Well, that's debatable.
Another knock. Sighing, Dr. Fables opened the door, only to find Mrs. Callahan standing there, hands folded over a cane.
Evening, gentlemen,
she said pleasantly.
Mind if I come in?
Dr. Fables stiffened. She needed an invitation, so she knew.
I'm afraid we're just about to turn in.
said, as always, smoothly. Mrs. Callahan just smiled.
Oh, I won't take but a minute.
She wasn't leaving. Geoffrey, oblivious to the tension, piped up.
Hey, Mrs. Callahan, you want a chip?
Dr. Fables shot him a look of absolute betrayal. Mrs. Callahan stepped forward. The moment her foot crossed the threshold, Dr. Fables felt the ancient magic ripple through the air. She had been invited in. Geoffrey looked between them.
Oh, was that bad?
Dr. Fables resisted the urge to throttle him. Mrs. Callahan stepped inside, closing the door behind her.
Now, Doctor. No need to get all huffy. I just wanted a little chat.
Dr. Fables forced a smile.
About what exactly?
She eased into a chair, tapping her cane against the floor.
Oh, about you. And that nasty little curse you're carrying around.
The room went silent. Geoffrey blinked.
Wait, how do you know about the curse?
Boy, I was born in Dry Hollow. My family's been here for generations. You think this is the first time something like you has come through?
Dr. Fables clenched his jaw.
Then you have seen others?
Mrs. Callahan nodded.
Only one, a long time ago. Man named Silas Kame.
She gave him a pointed look.
You ever hear that name, Doctor?
Dr. Fables stiffened.
Silas Kane. That name was ancient,
a whisper among the cursed.
Silas came here back in 1862, had the same look you do. Too pale, too charming, too hungry. Town didn't take too kindly to him, but me, I was just a girl. He fascinated me.
Dr. Fables frowned.
What happened to him?
Mrs. Callahan's smile widened.
He made a mistake.
Dry Hollow had once been a very different place. Back in the 1800s, people were prepared for things that lurked in the dark. And when they discovered what Silas Kane was, they didn't hesitate.
They buried him,
Mrs. Callahan said, her voice sweet as poison.
Not with a stake. Not with fire. Alive.
Geoffrey choked on his chips.
Oh, that's dark.
Dr. Fables frowned.
Where?
Mrs. Callahan's smile never wavered.
I'll tell you on one condition.
Dr. Fables narrowed his eyes.
What do you want?
She leaned forward, her eyes gleaming.
I want you to kill something worse than you.
The air in the room grew heavy. Geoffrey slowly lowered his chip bag.
Worse than him?
Mrs. Callahan nodded.
Silas never died.
The words hung between them like a curse. Dr. Fables, for the first time in over a century, felt something he rarely did. Unease. Mrs. Callahan gripped her cane tightly.
Silas is still buried, still alive, and lately, Doctor?
Her voice lowered.
I think he's waking up.
Geoffrey let out a long breath.
Well, that's a whole lot of no.
Dr. Fables steepled his fingers.
And why exactly would I help you?
Mrs. Callahan smirked.
Because, Doctor, if he wakes up, you won't be the scariest thing in Dry Hollow anymore.
Dr. Fables exhaled slowly.
He hated when humans made a good point.
That night, as Mrs. Callahan left, Geoffrey rubbed his temples.
So, let me get this straight. There's an older vampire buried somewhere, and if we don't do something, he's gonna rise up and probably eat the town.
Dr. Fables adjusted his coat.
Seems that way.
Geoffrey sighed.
Man, I miss the simple problems, like not getting burned at the stake.
Dr. Fable smirked.
Cheer up, Jeffrey. You wanted to be a hero, remember?
Jeffrey groaned.
Yeah, but I was thinking Batman, not Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Dr. Fables chuckled, a rare sound.
Come along. We have a grave to find.
Jeffrey muttered under his breath.
I really hate this town.
And this concludes chapters 1-5 of a Patreon dedicated story created just for Matto Star, my old Nighty Titan. I hope you really enjoyed Fangs for the Memories, a bloody misadventure in Dry Hollow. And there is, of course, more to come. This is just a taster. Thank you, amazing listeners, for listening. Will Dr. Fables find that grave in the end? Will he be able to, with Jeffrey's help, take out Silas? Well, we're going to find out in the future for sure. So I hope you enjoyed today's tale. Thank you for listening thus far. And wait till next week for more Fangs for the Memories, a bloody misadventure in Dry Hollow. If you like this story, hop on over to iTunes and leave an iTunes review if you've got a couple of seconds to spare to do so. And if you really love what I do, become a Patreon supporter by visiting my Patreon page and donating there. My Patreon page is www.patreon.com/SFGT, where you can support me at any tier that you like. All supporters get access to early access by a week for every single episode, and they also get a higher quality bitrate, receiving 320 kilobytes per second audio versus 192. So it sounds crisper
and more delicious.
Now, legends, this is one of my favorite parts of the episode, my Patreon thank yous. First and foremost, the friend and Patreon supporter this episode is dedicated to, the legendary, the magnificent, Matto Star, keeper of the night and master of mayhem. Matto, my friend, my muse, my eternal nightwalker of inspiration, this bloody tale of chaos, comedy, and questionable decision-making is dedicated to you. Because much like Dr. Jonathan Fables, you possess an undeniable charm, an air of mystery, and just the right amount of brooding menace, but in a fun way. And let's not forget your boundless wit and unwavering loyalty. Qualities that make you the Jeffrey Stories of my heart. But, you know, with way, way better hygiene. You, Matto, are the kind of person who'd laugh in the face of danger, out-talk a paranoid sheriff, and probably leave behind incriminating evidence just for a bit of fun. You are the soul of this story, mate. The dark humor in the horror, the madness in the misadventure. So with eternal gratitude and a very wary eye on any mustaches you might leave behind, Matto, your devoted and thankful storyteller. Thank you so much, mate. Have a wonderful week ahead. And jokes and silliness aside, thank you so much for your support, buddy. The podcast has ever changed because of you. I'm looking forward to next episode where I can actually showcase the following chapters. I hope you loved today's episode. Thanks, Matto. And now a toast to all four of my amazing white tea warlords, to the mighty and magnificent warriors of wit and wisdom. I'm lucky to first and foremostly have Lesosaurus Rex, the ferocious philosopher. Lesosaurus, you are a rare and magnificent creature, equal parts intelligent giant and fearsome force of muscle-bound nature. Like a mighty tea-drinking T-Rex, your presence commands attention. Your words devour ignorance, and your humor is as sharp as your wit. Bench-pressing this podcast out of our ozone and into the outer sphere of space. Dudio, thank you so much for your legendary support. I hope I can put a smile on your face every Monday whilst you're pumping iron at the gym. Have a kick-ass week, and thank you for your support and being my pal, Lezza. You are awesome. And my next amazing white tea warlord is Joseph Schroeder. Joseph, if Dry Hollow ever face a full-scale undead uprising, you'd be the first one to grab a bat, a shotgun, and possibly a flamethrower to handle the business. Well, Jeffrey would be screaming about his snack supply, you'd be taking out reanimated horrors with precision and style. The sheriff would trust you more than anyone. And let's be honest, Dr. Fables would probably try to recruit you. Joseph, thank you so much for being an awesome pal and supporter of the podcast. Have yourself an absolutely fantastic week, and thank you as always for your support, mate. You're brilliant. And my next White Tea Warlord, Maya the Cat Whisperer, you are a true master of the night. Because if there's anything scarier than a vampire, it's a cat with attitude. You'd be the real power in Dry Hollow, with a legion of feline spies watching every move. Mrs. Callahan would respect you, Dr. Fables would fear you, and Jeffrey, well, Jeffrey would probably be covered in scratches, still trying to figure out why cats don't like him. Maya, thank you for your brilliant support and wonderful friendship. I hope you have a magnificent week ahead, and thank you, as always, for being amazing. And my final White Tea Warlord, Sangeetha the Dreamwalker. Sangeetha, you wouldn't just survive Dry Hollow. You'd know it inside and out, past and future, seeing through the veil of reality itself. You'd be the one to sense Silas Kane stirring before anyone else, watching from the world of dreams. Dr. Fables might think he's in charge, but you'd be the true seer of the dark. A step ahead of every monster, a whisper in the shadows guiding the way. Sangeetha, thank you for being brilliant, awesome, and a wonderful pal. I hope you have a magnificent week ahead, and thank you as always for being your wonderful self. A huge shout out to my own Night Tea Titan and my White Tea Warlords. And lastly, I want to say a big thank you to my Earl Grey Enforcers. I am fortunate to have supporters at the front line by the names of Jessica Garcia, Seductive Smiles, Paige Kramer, Divided by Zero, Juicebox Andy, Just Heather, Peter Raffaele, and Chad Warren. You are superstars. And never forget it. And I want to say thank you to my two Chamomile contributors, Michael Krupp and Jane Gumnick. As I mentioned, if you love what I do, swing on over to Patreon, where all your dollary dues goes back into AI tools, fantastic sound effects, and a way for me to push the envelope every episode. Legends, have a brilliant week ahead, and as always, till next we meet.
Of yore, a man did seek to claim much more. With blood he struck, with greed he stole, and thus was carved his wretched soul. The sky did darken, fate was spun. The curse was cast away from sun. No bread, no wine, no mortal feast. Only the crimson from man or beast. Fangs for the memories, shadows and sin. To the darkness where night must begin. Through centuries lost, through hunger untold, my heart turns to ice, yet my blood runs cold. Then came a fool both stout and true, with laughter bright though wisdom few. A man of mirth with heart so wide, who stumbled forth to stand beside. He bumbled, he blundered, yet ever so keen. A servant, a brother, a wit unforeseen. Through folly and fear, through ruin and grace, he walks with the cursed, yet shines in this place. Beneath the soil, beneath the stone, a beast remains, a heart of bone. Silence.
one final stand. No longer a monster, yet no mortal man. Through peril and fire, through legend and pain, the cursed and the damned shall not rise again.